It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Sharing food with friends and empowering people to cook delicious food for the people they love, that's what drives Chef Terry Cole. Last year, she celebrated the 15th anniversary of her business, Country Club Market, in Clive. She does catering, sells baked goods at other local businesses, and teaches culinary arts classes. This year, she published her own cookbook. It's called Bringing Friends and Family Back Around the Table. She'll be appearing at Barnes & Noble, Jordan Creek in West Des Moines on April 20th, and she is here with me now. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
So let's go back in time. You grew up in Cedar Rapids. Tell me about how you first started learning to cook and the time you spent in the kitchen.
It was with my mother, and who the cookbook is dedicated to. And I would sit on the counter and watch her navigate the kitchen from stove to refrigerator and to stay out of the way, but just to see what was going on.
Well, and you describe her back in the 1960s. It sounds like she was sort of the ideal homemaker, cooking delicious food, but she loved to entertain guests and make treats for the Bridge Club and things like that, right?
Yes, exactly.
And as you got a little bit older, you started cooking dinner one night a week for your dad. Tell me about that.
Oh, it was basically set up, and I just had to execute it. But it gave he and I time to communicate one-on-one, and I'm happy to say I was a daddy's girl, and to spend that special time together around the table.
So food was always really important to you, but that wasn't necessarily the direction you were going to go in career-wise.
Not at all.
So tell me how you wound up working in hospitality.
I was at home in Cedar Rapids and didn't have any direction, and I thought, okay, I need to take a risk. And, you know, I had seen food representatives who would take orders from chefs. And I thought, well, I think that sounds like it'd be fun. And I made a trip to Des Moines, and I talked to a food distributor in Des Moines. They didn't have a representative position, and so they thought I'd be better suited as a food service food broker. So then I sought that out.
All right. So that was a thriving career.
Yes.
But you took a left-hand turn. You decided you wanted to become a chef, and you wanted to go to culinary school. What led to that decision?
A group of girlfriends who got together monthly, and I would research and put together a dinner for us, and they were always anxious to come to my house and just to see what I had put together. And finally, they said, well, you should do this for a living. And I thought, And I thought, well, but I need credentials. So then I sought out a culinary school.
So you went to the New England Culinary Institute. So you really upended your life.
I did. yeah.
And there's a beautiful picture of you in the book with Chef Julia Child. So, I mean, you went there. It was pretty intense, wasn't it?
It really was. It was hands-on. One of the reasons why I went there, because it was hands-on. It was 7-to-1 ratio. And back to Julia, just real quick, when I loaded my car to head out east, I said, move over, Julia. And little did I know that I would get to meet her and receive a culinary scholarship.
Wow, that's incredible. So I want to talk about your business, Country Club Market, because it really is a unique business. You didn't come back and decide that you wanted to be the chef in a kitchen or, you know, work at a fancy restaurant. You ended up starting your own business, Country Club Market, which you do catering, and you also teach culinary classes. So tell me what led you to make that decision instead of taking the more traditional route.
That's an excellent question, because when I went to culinary school, I knew that I wanted to have my own business. Aside from that, it was when I was in the a la carte class, where we were taught how to work a line in the stations, that I decided this is not for me. I don't I'm not cut out for this sort of pressure. I like
just
knowing.
Just too fast to.
Well, yeah. And it's really stressful. You know, not knowing what people are going to order or, you know, when and how many. And so that's the reason why I sought out catering and cooking classes, because you know how many, what time, and what they're having.
Well, and clearly education is something that you're really passionate about. What do you love about teaching people how to cook?
Empowerment. I love that I can demystify, and it seems like kitchens are the place to be, and to eat healthy, and just to be able to teach them how to put together and coordinate a meal so that it's all at the same time.
Well, can you give me an example of an experience that you've had in one of those culinary classes where you really felt like you were empowering somebody who maybe didn't have a lot of confidence in the kitchen, and you felt like when they left, things were going to be different?
Oh, Charity, it's such a, I'm so grateful. I think it happens every time.
Wow.
Where it may be the entire group. I talk to people daily that say, I remember when you told me that, or it was just yesterday I did something that I had put toasted nuts in, and one of the persons that people that had attended just said, oh, I remember you told me toast your nuts. So it's, I mean, it comes back around, and it's I'm so grateful. But yeah, whether it's, you know, how to properly hold a knife, or people do learn, and it's an experience too.
Do you feel like people are a little scared of the kitchen these days?
Yes and no. I think the majority is just the forward thinking to a shop put together and the time and to get everyone together. So I think that's what's happening now. People, it's there. It's just, it's busyness.
Yeah, people are so, so busy. So you have yourself an incredible cookbook collection. Tell me about your collection.
Yes, I'm Terry Cole, and I'm a cookbook addict.
How many cookbooks do you have?
Oh, Charity, I have more than 4,500.
Wow.
It's just something that I continue to accumulate. People may pass, or they may purge, and they just know that they're gonna be loved and you know, with me. So I have boxes and boxes and bags of books that that I haven't even looked at, but that I cherish, you know, even though.
So it must have been a real dream for you to publish your own cookbook.
It has been for quite some time.
Now, you have such a variety of recipes in the cookbook, and I'm wondering what made you decide these recipes? You had some pretty high standards for what you wanted to put in the cookbook.
Exactly. And I think it was maybe the lessons that they taught, so just an off segment here. I always say that I cook healthy until it comes to dessert, and then it's caution to the wind. It's a wash.
Right. That's a really great approach. The recipes also include some tips.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a couple favorite tips for people, just things that really might make a difference in their kitchen? I'm thinking about your tip about buying herbs, for example. Tell us what to do if we buy herbs.
Oh, this is great. I know it's a minimal investment, but if you take them home and treat them like flowers, keep them tied together, trim them, put them into cold water in a glass in the refrigerator, and you'll get 100% usage. And if it starts to turn brown, just change the water, retrim them just like you would flowers, and they'll drink that up and stay nice and green.
I think everybody has experience buying fresh herbs, using them, and then, oh, I can't use them again.
Yeah, and I think that I know myself, once I discovered this, that I use parsley all the time, fresh parsley, just Italian flat leaf, that is, adds such a nice herbal note.
You make the point several times in the cookbook to not feel wed to the ingredients in the recipe. And I think for a lot of us who maybe don't feel super confident in the kitchen, that's scary to think about swapping out ingredients. So what's your advice on that?
When I teach the recipe, it may be built around chicken with pine nuts and dried blueberries and sherry vinegar. And I like to offer up that it could be a pork chop, and it could be dried cranberries with pecans and balsamic vinegar. So it, in essence, it's use what you have. You don't have to be, like you say, married to the recipe, maybe the first time, just to see how it goes and then switch it up. But I think it's kind of fun to see the light go on with some of my, I don't know, students. And that, oh, really? And so, yeah.
On the cover of the book, you have a really beautiful picture of a delicious-looking paella.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in so many ways, choosing that paella for the cover tells us a lot about your approach to food. So why did you pick it?
That's a good question. I like that you asked that, because when I chose the title of the book, which has been a longstanding mantra of mine and my return address on emails, but that the paella is a peasant dish, a Spanish peasant dish that is prepared, oh golly, it must be about a 3 foot round paella pan, and it's sort of a clean out the refrigerator sort of dish. And it's over on an open fire, and everybody sits down, and where they sit, that's their portion, where they eat. And so it's in essence around the table. It's around the paella pan.
I also think that paella is a dish that's a little intimidating for people mm-hmm. when they think about making it at mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. So demystify it for us a little bit. How do you approach something that may be a little intimidating?
It's one of those that starts on the burner, and you're cooking up the aromatics, which are garlic and onion, and then you add the rice and the broth or the stock, and part of
ethnicity.
Thank you. Is sucre, and it's the crispy rice at the bottom around the pan, and that's the true essence of the paella, or how it's known to be good, is if there's crispy rice on the bottom, and then toward the end is where you put like the shrimp and the peas and parsley, and so that they're just cooked fresh, and the artichoke hearts that you see, and then you place it on the table and people help themselves. So it's friendly in terms of shrimp, clams, chorizo, which is Spanish or Mexican, and chicken, and it's just a real hearty meal.
So you have sort of an ode to some of the slower cooking things. You love risotto. You feel like stirring for 20 minutes is an act of love. But I'm curious, do you have tips for people who are overwhelmed with the idea of prep, cooking, and cleanup, and having it taking up your whole night?
Yeah, it's called mise en place in the culinary world, which is a place for everything has a place. So you organize your ingredients. And then if you can do any of the chop in advance, if you, if you entertain and want to do things in stages, I like to offer that up because people love to entertain. They're just not sure how to to pull that off, but do things in stages, and it becomes less intimidating and more empowering.
One of my favorite things about your book is that you included your mother's recipes and recipes from both of your grandmothers, and you didn't transcribe those. You included the pictures of their recipe cards. Why did you decide to do that?
You know, I toyed with, and people thought, you know, why don't you write them out so they're approachable? People can make them. And I thought, well, it's the nostalgia. It's the time and the handwriting and the recipe cards that takes me back to that time and the recipes that I grew up with from my mother to both of my grandmothers. And I just think it's pretty special. And I think some of us can interpret them as written. And I'm also happy if anyone would want to contact me and say, how would I approach this?
this little scribble doesn't necessarily make it.
What's oleo?
Right. We are almost out of time, but I want to ask about your mother's daffodil cake recipe, because I had never heard of daffodil cake. First of all, I mean, tell me, it sounds like it's a combination of angel food cake and pound cake. So tell me what it is.
and I had to get special permission from her to include it. She's kept that a guarded secret for years, so it's highly coveted. And so it's part yellow and part white. The yellow is lemon. It's made in an angel food cake pan, and it's a spring cake. So the timing is now.
Yeah, I think I need to make it this weekend. So it's angel food cake, and then the yolks are the yellow part,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds delicious.
Aww.
I can't wait to try it.
Thank you. Congratulations,
Chef Terry. What a beautiful book.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Chef Terry Cole, her business is Country Club Market in Clive, and she has just published her first cookbook, Bringing Friends and Family Back Around the Table. She'll be appearing at Barnes & Noble at Jordan Creek in West Des Moines on April 20th. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.